Yeah, yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geek Enders Podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geek Enders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time on gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.
Welcome to Geek Enders with your lovely hosts, Dodger and Jesse. And I'm about to get roasted alive by Jesse. I've been waiting for it for a full, 10 seconds. So here you go.
The longest 10 seconds ever. Do you want
to... Do we need to recreate it?
Oh, we do. So we're sitting here pre-showing. We're talking to Chad. Everything's fine. Doing our stuff. And Dodger's like, okay, let's roll this thing. And then presses play on the intro. Within seconds of the intro playing, no one at all listening or watching. It is just us. I have no context for what she says. And you said. And you said.
I said, do you think that we could. Do you think we could share custody with the Geico Gecko?
I don't even know how to answer that question. I'm not even sure what it's in relation to. I don't know what that means. Custody of who? Of the Geico Gecko? Or do you have kids with him that I'm unaware of? Like, I don't know what's happening right now.
It's because sometimes when we're goofing, we call it Geckenders. And isn't the Geico Gecko... Gecko named Gex?
You had a whole ass conversation in your head before you asked me that question, and I was not caught up to speed.
I'm sorry.
I had no idea where you were coming from. I didn't know what you were talking about. You just said it to me like we had been riffing for the last 20 minutes, like that Geek Enders, you know, and the Geico, and his. You just asked me if we could share custody with the Geico Gecko. I was like, this is a brand deal? What are we doing? What's happening right now?
Okay, Gex is the video game Gecko. What's the name of the Geico Gecko?
I don't know, that would probably be
more a brand, at least. Do you think
we could
get Gex on the show?
I don't know. Can we get Gex? Do you think...
Is Gex
if Hot
busy,
Ones can get
think?
Donald Duck, we can get the Geico Gecko. I feel like we can do that.
I haven't watched Hot Ones in quite a while. Did they get Donald Duck on Hot Ones?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yep.
Google says his name is Martin. I'm upset.
All the memes are really good. I haven't watched that episode because I imagine it'll be not good. It feels like one of those staged ones, you know, like, right. But... The memes are hilarious because, as you know, the questions on Hot Ones are pretty great. And so a lot of the memes were like, when you were in the Battle of the Thousand Swords and you used Zeta Flare. Oh, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good deep cut question.
I love it. It's like when shows have Miss Piggy on.
Yes.
And you're like, I don't really know what to expect from this, but the goofs after will be very good.
Hilarious. So, every time.
Yeah. Yeah. Sam and I, forever ago, it feels like an age ago, we used to watch every single Hot Ones that came out because it is legitimately a really good interview show.
Sure.
But I don't think I've watched a Hot Ones in like a couple years at least.
They've been great. They're still great. It's still nice to see people go on there and talk big. Be like, It's like shit. And then get destroyed by the end. It's great. Yeah. You know,
I did watch the episode where Gordon Ramsay fell to absolute pieces. That was really fun for me.
Yeah. A recent one that's really good is they had Hugh Jackman and
Ryan Reynolds.
I don't know what I was about to call him Ryan Deadpool. and Ryan Deadpool was on.
That's his name.
I just stopped myself.
Hugh Jackman and Ryan Deadpool.
Ryan Deadpool. And they had them on, and Ryan Reynolds was usual Ryan Reynolds self, just being like, I'm going to snark this whole thing. Poor Hugh Jackman, though.
Falling
that
apart.
Man cannot handle hot food. That guy was crying.
Did he
it
know?
Was great. I mean,
sometimes people
I have
go on there and it's
someone...
like they don't know that they can't handle spicy food, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, I'm actually a big fan of the ones, like if I went on a show like that, I think I'd kill it. I'm a big fan of the ones where the dudes are like, bitch food. I'm like, yeah, that's my dude. Yeah. Those are the good ones. But yeah, I don't know. It's one of those shows where there are very few interviewers that I like watching, because a lot of times the interviews are like softball bullshit, but my man puts in some work and I'm here for that. Actually, probably a producer somewhere puts in a lot of work, but
I think at least originally he did all of the research, I think.
Sure.
I have no clue. At this point now, I'm sure they've got a team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's one of my favorite things when he asks a question and the person's like, where did you even dig that up from? You know, like
it's
whoa.
A solid Nardwar vibe. And I'm a big Nardwar fan. I love when someone is just like hyper passionate about a question. That's like when you were 13 and you produced your first album, they're like, bro, I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Big fan. It's one of those things where it's nice to see celebrities brought down to your disgusting human level.
Sure.
You like watch them, you know, you like watch them eat something and they start sweating and they start looking a little foul and you're like, yeah, you're just a man.
Here
we made
go.
You bleed.
You're a human being just like me.
Your money and fame can't save you now from the heat. Yeah, it's great.
But also that combined with this person has done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of interviews about the exact same bullshit. And just to watch their eyes light up with like, I've never been asked that. There's something pure about that. Like, oh my God, a question no one's ever asked me. What a delight.
And I think the brilliance of it is it isn't a question that you can yes, no answer. It's always a question that you have to talk about while you're slowly losing your ability to speak. And I love, it's a genuinely great piece of content. Mm-hmm. Like it is well put together. It is one of those things where you're like, that is, yeah, you've nailed it. You've nailed a solid interview format that it reminds me of the Hot Pepper Gaming days where they would be like, do this review, eat this pepper. And you're like, this is the stupidest idea, but I will watch every single one.
Yeah. Like, they were so fun. That was such a fun idea because there's a point where you're like, oh my God, this person literally can't keep talking. Like that's how hot that was.
Yeah. After a while, it got to the point where they were like, give them death peppers. And people would be like, and I'm like, all right, you've gone too far.
It's too much.
I've watched your man die on screen.
God. Yeah. Oh my God. I forgot about Hot Pepper Gaming. That's so funny.
Yep. Again, it's not new. It's not a new concept. Usually, no, I think a lot of the early days of YouTube did stuff and then it kind of like fell off. And then people picked it up later, like, this is a good idea. And with money and like a drive to do it, you can make any kind of show work. So,
yeah, for sure.
How would we do on Hot Ones? How do you think you would do?
I think I would persevere, but I would start sobbing really early. I would be that person that's like, can't stop crying, is like trying to do the interview normally, but can't. That would start happening really early on. I think you'd get pretty far before you started choking a bit.
I make no sort of guesses on how I'd end. I don't want to pretend that I've nailed that last, but the first, the roll up, I'd be fine. Mm-hmm. I know what you would be like. If anyone's curious exactly, if you need video evidence, rewind to the very beginning of this podcast. In the first, I don't know, 30 seconds. when Dodger starts talking and telling you the story and he's laughing but also crying about how Gecko's this, Gecko's that, that's what it would be. It would be that exact moment where she's like, right, but also trying to talk.
There's also the one and only subathon I've ever done on my 10-year streaming anniversary. One of the goals was that I would eat a Vindaloo, knowing 100% that the second I tried to eat it, I would not do well. So there, that video evidence also exists out there somewhere.
Man, I love Vindaloo.
I know. I literally associate them with you because
it is so good.
We had like quite a few years there where we would all go out and get curry. And you would always get a Vindaloo, and I'd always get like a chana masala or something, some sort of like a veggie, you know, like curry of some kind that was really good. And you'd always, without fail, be like, you got to try this. And I'd be like, I shouldn't, because it's going to ruin my mouth for the rest of this meal. And I would always try it. Every time I was like, it's just so hot. Yeah.
I love heat. I'm a big fan of getting spiced out. I discovered there is a limit, though. So I don't know if it's reached overseas because I feel like it's a very American thing. But Campbell's Soups, they have decided to start producing spicy versions of soups. And so they have like spicy chicken noodle and spicy like steak and potato and spice, like, you know, spicy versions of the normal stuff.
Okay.
Which is fine. I got the spicy chicken noodle soup and I was like, all right, it's spicy. I like it. That's fine. I discovered that they have a ghost pepper version. And you can tell it's different.
Chicken noodle soup?
Oh, yeah. You can tell it's different because the label's black and has flames on it. And I was like, what the hell is this? So for science, I needed to try it because I was like, well, I have to.
Of course.
I have to try it. When I say it was unnecessarily hot, like, it wasn't a pleasant eating experience.
Have
it was
you had
too
a ghost
hot.
Pepper before? Like, just
oh,
a...
yes. Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I knew what I was getting into, but a great example of ghost pepper spice levels being inconsistent is we got a bunch of hot sauces delivered. I think it was Warhammer-based hot sauces were delivered to the office. Like, hey, our new Warhammer stuff's coming out. Here's what?
The Warhammer,
not Warhead.
I was like, what? Okay, I'm back on track. I'm here again.
We got a bunch of Jolt Cola hot sauces sent to us.
I don't know.
Some Surge hot sauces.
I don't know what's going on with me today. What the hell?
We got a bunch of Zebra bubblegum hot sauces sent to us. We had some Altoid hot sauces sent to us. It was pretty good.
I was like, they've made Warhead hot sauce? Like, sure. The spicy, sweet, sure. That seems so weird to me, though.
Yeah. Those Abba Zaba hot sauces. Crazy. Got some Charleston Chew hot sauces last week.
Oh, my that God. Okay.
I'm just
okay.
listing
right.
candies that I don't get access to anymore. It's really upsetting.
All right.
Rip Abba Zap. All right. So Warhammer. We got Warhammer hot sauces.
Warhammer and there was hot four sauces, of them. Right.
It was four of them, and it was each based off like a different class, right? And the one that said ghost pepper, which we all thought was we did like a video for Patreon. I think it's still over there. We did like hot sauce taste testing, and one of them said ghost pepper. It was the best hot sauce I've ever had in my entire life. It was perfect. It was both a little sweet, a little hot. I don't know what the hell they think a ghost pepper is at that hot sauce plant. But the other one that was like normal medium heat was so spicy. I don't know if they mislabeled them. I don't know what happened. But it was one of the best hot sauces I've ever had. And that's why like ghost pepper sometimes is like, oh man, this hits the spot. And sometimes like, you have chosen poorly.
Right.
And so with the soup, the ghost pepper soup, it was like a poorly thing. It was both hot because it was soup, but also spicy because they put way too much ghost pepper juice in there. I don't know what the hell they were doing. It was like, take a sip, pause for a minute. Like,
right.
Whoa. And yeah, I don't know. There's normal spice. They got like normal spicy. That was fine. But the ghost pepper was like mouth sensory too hot. I was like,
yeah. Oh.
It wasn't like you're crying, but it was like, oh my God, they're trying to spice me out here. We went, I went to a hot pot 2 weeks ago with some.
I'm so jealous. I miss hot pot so much.
Went to one of the ones in studio, the Westfield Studio City, the one that's like the big open air mall.
Yeah.
They've got a big one there. And we rolled up. And got a split. One half was like mushroom, and one half was extra spicy. When I say extra spicy, I mean every time we'd put something in there and we'd pull it out, there'd be like 85 peppers with it. Like just.
Oh my God.
It was the kind of spice where they put in the peppercorn, so it was also numb your mouth. So I was just like sweating like a sinner in church. I was like, oh, it was great. Big fan. So, yes, I will spice me out any day. Fill me up with sweet, sweet spice. Love it.
Yeah. I think for me, I judge my spice tolerance not by what can I technically handle eating, mm-hmm. but instead by at what point can I no longer taste the food?
Sure,
maybe I could put something spicier than that in my mouth technically, but like at what point is the fact that it's spicy overpowering literally everything else and I mm-hmm. can't enjoy the food anymore, you know? Because I think as your spice tolerance goes up, you're able to like enjoy the other flavors along with the spiciness, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to like all things in life, you just have to like grow that tolerance.
Yeah.
Or come, good spice, I think, is a little bit like wine, where and when you're starting, you're like, what the hell is this? Mm-hmm. And by the end, you're Crendor, and you're like, I like tannins. And you're like, okay, dude, yeah, you do. And you gotta just like get into it. And then, you know, eventually you're the guy who's like, have you had the X Reaper chili? That it's a brand new chili that was just crafted by scientists. It will blow your butt out. And you're like, no, I haven't. I have not had that before.
But I will.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. Why not? Mm-hmm. No. Shout out to the Geekenders for
is very good.
An amazing intro called 20 Minutes on Spice and Heat. And yeah.
Shockingly not about Dune.
Honestly, we've done very... I feel like this podcast, we tackle the thing people... They want us to talk about this.
Yeah.
We get so many emails that are like, you should talk about spicy food.
Yeah.
Because that's why I tune in.
I tune in every week waiting for you guys to talk about my favorite topic, spicy mm-hmm. food.
Yeah. And there other podcasts. We love it when you talk on your show about other shows. They love it. The kids love it.
They love it so much. Yeah. It's like a lazier version of a React channel.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Hey.
What do you think about hot ones?
It really is. Like, instead of reacting to a thing, we
there
just
there was like
tell...
an episode. God, who was it? Jennifer Aniston was like, she was eating a thing. It was on Hot Ones, I'm pretty sure. And it was spicy. Yeah. Don't yeah, back
we could guys. React to it. And you can see us react live, or we could regale each other with a story that we kind of remember. You know.
In fairness, one is clearly content, and one is literally what we would be doing if we weren't on the podcast right now. Just be like,
people think
have
this
you
is
seen that
like...
episode with the guy?
This
I'm
is,
not going to look it up, but...
This is the most pure, distilled version of our friendship. Like, this is it, y'all. If there was no cameras, we'd still be doing this. This is the conversation we'd be having.
Yeah. I mean, we've said this many times before, but literally anytime you're like, hey, do you want to, like, hop on a call and record a game with me really quick? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. We spend the first hour just bullshitting and then being like, fuck, should we... Should we record?
Probably should do something, right? Yep. Yep. That's it, really.
It's good. It's good. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, speaking of things you should like, I'm gonna keep on this.
Okay.
On Monday, a video came out featuring myself and my parents.
Yes.
And
Cult of the Fam.
Man, what a treat. What a treat to have my parents here to play Cult of the Lambs co-op version. If you want to go see a video that you should like, wink, go and watch that. My dad, I learned, has never held a controller in his life.
Bro, your dad was so funny to watch. Because he was like he wanted to engage with it, clearly, but was very openly like, I don't know what is going on here. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing.
Some of the stuff we cut out is so funny. My dad, there's one point where I was describing the story of the game to him. My dad literally is like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, just completely just not buying into it. A reminder, my favorite story about my dad to this day will always be this must have been like the year 2000. I don't know when it was. I was in my parents' old house, and my mom, she's like got a little nerdy side. So we rented the X-Men movie. The very first X-Men movie, we put it in, and we're sitting there watching it. My dad comes in. He sees the scene where he's, like, pulling at the gates, and he's like, ugh! And he's like, So he sits down. He's in for, like, Wolverine's introduction. He's in for the whole thing. The minute Wolverine goes to the mansion, and everyone's like, my name is Storm, and I'm Cyclops. My dad stands up and goes, that's enough of that, and, like, walks out the room. He's like, yeah, I'm out. And just.
Yeah.
He was in till they had cool, like, names.
Yeah.
And that's
until
my
dad.
It was
clearly a movie about a bunch of weirdos.
Yeah. He's like, not for me.
I'm out.
But he sat there and watched so much of that movie. And, like, he was like, yeah. And then once they were like, I'm Cyclops, he's like, this is stupid. Like, all right.
My dad's line anytime that clearly communicated to the rest of us, like, I'm out, I'm over this, is, well, I'm going to go have a smoke. Just get up, dust his butt off, because he always sat on the floor. Dust his butt off and go outside and vanish for the rest of the movie.
That's what, like, I would be so curious of what he was just going to go do. Like, there's only the one TV. Like, so is he going to go outside? Where's he going? What's he going to do? And every time, he would just be in their bedroom listening to the radio and be like, you're listening to Pittsburgh Sports. And he'd be like, okay, all right. There'd be nothing on, but it'd be like, what do you think about the Pens this season? Well, I don't know. They got Yammer Yager up in there. Like, I don't know. And my dad would just be sitting there just like, like, what? You could have hung out with the family, watched a movie you may or may not. He's like,
absolutely not.
No, I will not be doing that.
Can I piggyback off of what you just said for a second?
Sure. Yeah.
So a while back, I got my kid a CD player.
Mm-hmm.
The CD part of it, the CD reader is busted. It happened so quickly. I don't know why I'm surprised. We all lived through the era of CDs.
I was going to say, do you think that Clarky opened that bad boy up, saw the little reader, and was like, I'm going to investigate how this works? Yeah.
Possibly.
There's a lot of, when you open that up, there's a lot of just parts out there.
Stuff sitting there, and a little thing that says, don't touch this.
Right.
Mm-mm. Anyways, and we were talking about it, and I was like, I mean, I could try to fix it, but in the meantime, did you know that it can play the radio? And she was like, okay. And so I got it to play the radio, and she was like, all right, cool, and like danced a little bit and then left, right? Like, it was not that exciting for her. It was very exciting for me. Like, by accident, I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't just listened to the radio in a while. And I took this weird little pink CD player all around the house and just played the radio, and I swapped it to FM at one point. And yeah, it was just like local radio with dudes talking about football, soccer. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck they're talking about, but they're passionate. So
it is.
It was so fun.
Even though I do not follow along with sports talk radio at all, it's not a passion of mine. since I was in high school, I would still turn it on.
Yeah.
Because it is some of the goofiest background noise you can have. It's like, hey there, like Fat Dog or whoever's hosting the show. Like, hey there, Fat Dog, Phil in Boston, just calling in, letting you know. Oh my God, the draft this year, trash. Just, you know who who's really trash though? Let me tell you about that Yama Yaga. And they, and you just be like, I love that this, it's basically the comment section of a YouTube video, but just a guy on a phone. And it is hilarious. It's one of my favorites. I cannot stress it. Yeah, also shout out to Car Talk. I would always listen to Car Talk as well.
Yeah, I need to find like Coast to Coast out here. I need to find an equivalent because I will forever remember putting on like weird conspiracy radio for Sam when he was in my hometown. And number one, he couldn't understand anything anyone was saying because it was like, it was in like hick slang, you know?
Yep.
And number two, when I had to explain what they were talking about and I was like, well, this guy's been talking for a really long time about his dog that went missing. And I think maybe he's trying to circle it back to a conspiracy that I'm honestly not sure.
I don't know.
I need that. I want that, but out here, you know?
I don't know if my parents still do it, but I know that they, at least my dad, used to religiously always put Coast to Coast on.
Mm.
Like at night, in bed, that would be his thing. And I would listen to Coast. I remember when I stocked shelves at Topps Friendly Markets back in the year 2000, 2001. I remember when we invaded Iraq. I remember being working at Topps Friendly Markets and it was like playing in the thing as I'm like stocking shelves in New York. Why do I keep saying Topps Friendly Market? It's just Topps. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm clearly, as we discussed before, commercialism and capitalism has ruined me. But I would listen to it all the time. And I was a big fan of Art Bell because he was like, I love that he wouldn't take anyone's shit. It was great. He was so good. And then, you know, the show was fine.
My grandma loved Art Bell. Listened to him every day.
Yeah, the show is fine, but it's weird that over time it became like, if someone called in to Art Bell, they'd be like, I just saw a UFO. It was in my backyard. And he'd be like, what did it look like? Did you do anything? What happened, right?
Mm.
And then the new hosts that they keep getting, like George and the guys, the two George, the many Georges that came after.
Sure.
They all were just like, George, I saw a UFO in my backyard. And they'd be like, really? What else happened? And they're like, oh, and the alien came and he touched my butt. And he's like, okay, and? And I'm like, are you not going to question anything this person's saying?
Right.
Are we just going to let different this person
energies.
Be like?
Different energies. Yeah, yeah.
I'm just going to make up a... Like, there was one, I'll never forget, one was like, George, the other day I saw a leprechaun down the street. And he's like, oh, what did the leprechaun look like? It's like, little fella in green. He's like, okay, and what happened? And they're like, nothing, I just thought he looked weird. I'm like, what
could have been anybody.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And then, yeah. And then it started to get weird where, like, they invite people on and be like, everything's a cabal by the global elitist Trotskyite socialists. And I'm like, oh God, here we go.
Yeah.
It's still a fun listen, but it's like, okay, yep, here we go.
My Nana was obsessed with crop circles. She was really interested in crop circles. She was a very, very religious woman. And so she listened to basically or read anything she could about crop circles because she felt like they were some sort of a religious message, right? So I would go to visit her sometimes and she would have printed out, like gone online and printed out individual pictures of crop circles on conspiracy websites. And so she'd just have tons of them all over the place. And I was always like... This is a lot, Nana.
Yeah, that is incredibly sad, but also very cute.
Yeah.
You know, like, she got, but also, it's very cute.
It's a kind of a goobery version of, you know, like, printing off all of your emails I don't know. You know, like she just, she needed them out in the physical world. So she just wound up having a bunch of pictures of crop circles in her house all the time. And I was like, this would be alarming to anyone not in the family that knows what
you're
about.
Did she have an angle? Because you said she was religious. Did she have like a, these are signs from God kind of vibe?
Yeah, it was that kind of a thing. Yeah. She was convinced that they were some kind of a message for us. And so she wanted to like study them, you know. But she, yeah, sure. She loved Art Bell. Big Art Bell fan.
I'm always curious. I would love to talk to people who have, like, every time there's an alien, every time.
Sorry.
That's a weird statement. Every time there's an alien, or every time there's a crop circle, or every time whatever, or like, I'm being contacted by the space creatures. Every time. They're like, humanity should be nice to each other and treat each other well. We would love to be in contact with you, but your species is too violent. Like, that's usually the vibe.
Right.
And I've always wondered, like, did you need an alien to tell you that? Like, you know, I know this is what you want. And you want the message from space to unify everyone. But, like, did you need an alien to be like, don't be assholes? Right? Like, it's always a thing that I've always just thought, like, you know, it feels like a pretty nice sentiment, but I don't know that we need Glorp Knock from System 4 to tell us that. I feel like it should just be an obvious, like, hey, don't be a piece of shit. But I don't know. It always seems crazy to me that that's the vibe. Like, someone from space told us to be good to each other, so we should, like, get on that.
Did you ever think, not to talk about yet another podcast on our podcast, but did you ever think that at this ripe age of your life, that you would know as much as you do now about aliens and conspiracies and things?
I think probably. Let's be real. If I was going to have any sort of trajectory, it would be that.
You're like, I'll go through an alien phase eventually.
Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, I went through a phase where I had all sorts of alien books and UFO books and things. Because it's interesting. It's like, oh, interesting. But it's also, as far as I can tell, a lot of it is people, like, making up their own sci-fi adventures. Sure. And I'm fine with that. Like, have fun. Like, I'm not going to tell you what to do. But, you know, as an example, we did an episode recently, a two-parter over on Shumalati that's about a UFO scenario thing. And from moment one, I was like, nah, this dude's making this up. Like, I was like, he's making it up. And it's fine, but the trajectory of that man's life was like, he had a family, his life was good, everything was great, and then I'm pretty sure he just BS'd an alien story to, like, get attention, and it destroyed his life. But the thing is, and everyone's like, why would he make that up? Why would he make that up? And I was like, well, he made a bunch of money off of it. He got a ton of attention. Like, I get it. Sometimes people do stuff because they're like, yes, yes, it's about me. And they lose everything because they like, oh, no, I shouldn't have done that at all.
The Icarus.
But then you're so in deep that if you say, I was making, like, you can't go back on it, you know?
Sure.
And so, and this ego and stuff gets in the way. And now, if you admit it now, then not only you lie to everyone, but also you got your family left you, you know, like you got double whammy then. So it's one of those things that I'm kind of like, all right, well, but yeah, tune into the episode to figure out exactly why I think this way. There's video evidence. There's so it's wild. What a treat. What a, you know, like there's a great example is, of how I feel about it all is last week. I remember getting my phone blown up by Alex. There was people all over the place. In LA, there are multiple sightings of what appeared to be UFOs. And everyone's losing their mind. They're taking photos. There's all this video evidence. There's all this stuff happening. Mm. And the images look like, imagine a flying saucer with red and yellow lights on the outside. It almost looks like police lights in the sky. Right? Okay. But in big saucer shapes. And everyone's freaking out like, what the hell is this? What's going on? And no one's claiming, like, what? A few days later, there is footage of Hawaii, I guess the Pokemon tournament that's happening in Hawaii at the moment.
Right, Worlds, I think is in
and
Hawaii
they did
right
a
now.
Light show where they had like Dragonite and different things In the sky. But when the drones take off, they showed four of them taking off in a row, and they all look like the same exact flying saucer.
Okay.
It's so basically the thing people saw, at least as far as I can tell, was just one of those drones.
Right.
Except everyone was like, we've never seen anything like that. So it clearly must be a UFO. And if you watch the video, you can see them. They look exactly the same. And there's four in a row. And then they like transform into Pokemon. And I was like, technology's just become too good. I don't trust nobody no more.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah. Not to veer us into AI conversations again, but like, but on the same topic. Occasionally I'll see a video and a bunch of the comments under the video are, this is clearly AI. And I start to panic a little bit if I can't tell. Like, I feel like I need to look up. People are starting to make lists of like markers, like things to look for to tell if something's AI. I feel like I need to just like deep dive read that stuff so I can tell.
Sure. I mean, I don't trust most of what I see on the internet. If it's like, found this, because here's another, it doesn't have to be AI. People do this all the time where they're like, reporting from a war zone. It's terrible out there. So many people are dead. Look at all. And then you see it and it's like, this is video footage from 1994 in a totally different part of the world. You know, people, it doesn't have to be AI. People just lie to you to lie to you because they're like trying to get a reaction. I think when you monetize clicks and views over anything else, the algorithm is allowing you to be like, I'm just going to piss people off because when people are pissed off, they're going to click more and they're going to comment more. And so I don't even have to do it. Even if I lie to you and show you an image from, you know, a totally different region of the world and do a whole different thing. Yeah. Or when they were showing scenes from Arma as like, these are real battle reports.
Oh my God. Yeah.
If you get caught, right, you still get the benefit of people being like, you liar, and then they go back and they look at it and again and you get more views and you're like, it's a, you know, there's no incentive to tell the truth, unfortunately.
That's true,
I guess, aside from being a good person, but
aside from it just being a good thing to tell the truth.
Yeah, unless the aliens tell you, then what's the point? Why do it? Yeah,
indeed.
How do we get here?
Let's see. Let's backtrack. We were talking about aliens. We were talking about the guy with the video footage. We were talking about
podcasts.
How you can just fake stuff.
Yeah.
We
connected spicy soup.
Yeah.
To AI on the internet.
It went spicy soup, and then it went spice in general. And then
I feel like this is a rabbit hole we shouldn't go down.
Should we stop?
I feel like maybe we're just down the rabbit hole here. Yeah. So did you do anything fun this week?
Did I do anything fun this week?
Did you play anything good? Watch anything exciting?
I told you about going to the park with the World War I reenactments, right?
Whoa. What?
Okay. So there's a place called Rest Park. I was going there with some family members. We were like, oh, let's just bring the kids, whatever. Not realizing that they were doing like an event right now where they do World War I reenactments. And there's like a bunch of people there showing off like old ration cans and like, you know, like non-working bombs and all kinds of crazies. Like there were just like things all over the place where people were giving information and trying to, you know, like teach kids stuff and whatever. And then way off in a field was like a big area that was sequestered off. And it said like, at this time of the day, we're doing a reenactment. And so we were like, well, we should probably see what that's like, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Because it just turned out that it was happening like an hour after we got there. And we were like, perfect. We'll eat a little something and then we'll go to the reenactment, right? Because I've seen a LARP, but to be honest, I've never seen a reenactment. And I don't know that there's a difference, really. One is based on historical evidence, obviously. But like in terms of what they do, I don't know.
I'm so curious. So before you tell me.
Yeah.
In my mind, of course, I'm aware of LARPing. Of course, I'm aware of that time we went to Poland and we saw The Witcher murder a bunch of people.
Yes.
Of course, I've seen Civil War reenactments where dudes line up and shoot at each other and they're like, oh, you killed me, Yank. Right? I've seen all that.
Okay.
Knowing what World War One was, what was a World War One reenactment like?
So I will say that I'm not totally sure. It was really difficult to hear through the microphone, like what they were describing, but it was very like there were, they had an area all sectioned off. There was a person on a microphone who was supposed to be explaining to the audience, like the story, like the narrator kind of, but it was difficult
sure.
to understand. And we were pretty close because the kids were like, well, we need to be able to see. And at the very start, the thing that we did understand was him being like, hey, FYI, there's going to be like, you know, fake weapons, fake, you know, war noises and things like that. Just so you know, viewer discretion advised, right? So the whole beginning was so quiet and slow. It was like, here's a few dudes at a base. Here's some dudes who are like driving around in a car. There, you know, there were just like people sort of sprinkled around. And then the guy was like, oh, our man is sneaking in. So there was like a British soldier who was like sneaking onto the premises, right? And we were like,
time out. Are you telling me that it began as like, these are the soldiers of the Kaiser? And only a British gent can sneak in amongst these German fiends and all just... So you're telling me that we were seeing, like, the German POV at the time?
We were watching a man in a beret come up and solid snake knock out a bunch of people. like
shoot people this out sounds shit. Awesome!
Yeah, what? So we were like, ooh, this is fun. And then it was like, he needs reinforcements. He's been caught. And this is where it all went to shit, okay? Because the very first thing that happened, again, it's been so quiet, right? Because a homie's sneaking, right? So they were like, he needs reinforcements quickly. Reinforcements are here. And we didn't hear anything after that because the very next thing was they threw a fake grenade. That was the loudest shit I've ever heard in my life. And our kids jumped up, screamed, covered their ears, and ran. So we were like...
That's smart. Those kids get it. Yeah. Those kids get it.
So we were like, well, I guess we're done here. Got up, followed the children. But yeah, it was... I don't know how they would get across to you exactly how loud this was going to be, but it was incredibly loud. But again, I've never seen a World War reenactment, right?
So I guess it's a weird way to World War One. I don't know if it's like, I don't know how you would reenact that because you're like, again, you're like, these are soldiers driving cars and these are soldiers sitting around base.
Standing around. Yeah.
It's a good soldier boy sneaking in. And he's like, D-d-d-d-d-d-d. In my mind, a World War One reenactment would be like, you go to the field and you spend a whole day watching guys dig trenches and set up machine gun turrets.
Right.
And
right.
then just like stare at each other and be like, who's running across first? And that's it. And then yeah. at some point, a biplane flies in and a guy's like, die. Brr. And then like they start throwing mustard gas at each other. They have to put on gas masks. And so the field is covered in a haze and he can't see anything. And you keep hearing random gunshots and everyone's like, well, someone's got to do something. And then you have some asshole who's like, we've got to run. We got to run the barbed wire, man. Toot. Right. That's the vibe. I don't know. Like, I don't know what else it would be except like a lot of sitting around and then some guys running at each other and dying. Like, I just don't know
all
what
I know
else
is
it would
they
be.
They threw a grenade and then they shot at each other a lot. That's what I gathered. I liked the idea of we're going to just show you a snapshot moment. Right. And we're going to have a guy like describing like, oh, this is General whatever the fuck. And he's doing this. Right. But like, it wasn't coming through very clearly. So we weren't able to get like the story, and then a grenade went off. So
I mean, if anything,
I would go to another one.
You and the
not
kids,
with my child.
Yeah, I was about to say, you and the kids got a real probably idea of how loud that would be, right?
Right.
If a grenade just like went off in front of you, I bet it wouldn't do your ears any good.
It was scurry. Yeah.
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 No, I don't like.
And then my kid called me a liar because we went and there was a guy who was teaching kids on the fly that were walking by. He was teaching them like drill commands, like left face, right face. Sure. You know, how to stand at attention.
Starboard, larboard, of course, yeah.
Right, yeah. And so our kids ran over and learned a little bit of that, and then they were like, this is boring, and we started walking away. And I, thinking this would be a fun piece of trivia, I was like, did you know that I'm the Oregon State drill down champion from my senior year in high school? And my kid was like, no, you weren't. I was like, I was. No, I was, though. And she was like, no, you weren't. And literally still doesn't believe me. But I found my little plaque so I can prove it. I can finally prove it.
Was it worth it? Was it worth proving it to your child that you were the drill down champion?
Yes, it is. I wasn't a sporty McSporterson, okay? I don't have like a bunch of stuff to gesture to be like, these are my achievements from when I was young. No. I have a little thing that says I was the most inspirational on our dance team at one point, and I have a thing that says I won drill down.
I must stress to you, in the eyes of your child,
yeah,
you didn't exist before she came along. You had no life. You weren't a person who existed. Your existence has only been around since Clark has been around. There is nothing else you've ever done. So there's nothing you can say.
Look.
Uh-oh, here we... Yo, look! That is... That's they a solid champion. That's a solid high school plaque. Winner. That's good. Yeah, that's good.
It's my one, I didn't my get a one plaque. Award I that cup. I ever got.
Yeah, yeah. It's an impressive feat you have there.
Thank you.
You should hang it up in the background. You've got some space back there. Maybe if it's on stream, more people will buy into it, and then like Clark will have to accept it.
There you
it.
Go. Yeah.
You become known for it. The drill down master.
So what you're saying is I could make a plaque that says anything. Mm-hmm. And if I just have it in the background and talk about it often enough, eventually everybody will be like, yeah, we believe it. And then my kid will have to believe it.
I'm pretty sure that's how the internet works. Yeah. I'm pretty sure if you just.
Yep.
Yeah, you can. You can do anything you want, really. People will believe it. It's true. Yeah.
I like it. Yep. But yeah, Rust Park is pretty cool. They've got like a huge playground and a manor house that you can run around in and stuff. It was neat.
That's fun.
Yeah.
You like got outside, got to do some stuff, got to see a reenactment that I don't know makes much sense, but it seems pretty cool.
You know.
I would have watched the hell out of that. Mm-hmm. I have discovered that I enjoy watching people just have fun doing anything.
Yeah.
So if they were into it, like, yeah, if I have to watch something and it seems like the people in it are miserable, then I'll be like bored. But if you're just having a good time, no matter what it is, I'll be like, all right, I'm going to watch this. This should be fun. This should be good. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Did you play anything fun this week? Did you game it up?
What did I play? I played a little bit of Minecraft.
Of course. Of course. You did know. You see the Gamescom live stuff? The show? No. The Jeff Keighley? No. You didn't miss much to be honest. The things that really were the big takeaways for me, of course, were one, still excited for Indiana Jones. Very excited. Hell, can't wait to play that. It's going to be a ton of fun.
When does that come out?
December 6th, I think.
Oh.
Obviously, we got... This doesn't make any sense to me, but I guess it's two different teams and two different companies. There are two Little Nightmares-y style games. One is Little Nightmares 3.
Okay.
And then another is called Reanimal.
Okay.
They both have the exact same vibe. And honestly... Both look awesome. Very excited for that.
I love the Little Nightmares games.
Yeah, pretty excited for that. And then, yeah, Reanimals from the original devs, right. But then the new team has Little Nightmares 3. So they're basically getting two games that look very similar that are super weird and fun, scary, platformy things, and I'm here for it. Then the big announcement, I think, the one that actually... Well, you know what? There's another one. Apparently, Amazon has a... Or was it Netflix? Netflix? One of them. One of those things you have to pay for.
Yeah.
As a new series that is a bunch of, you know, like shorts, very similar to Love, Death, and Robots.
But
it's all video game related. So they got like Kratos up in there. They got Warhammer. They got all sorts. I was like, yo,
that's sick.
Yeah, it looks very cool.
That sounds really neat.
I'm excited for that. I hopefully that's some good. Branching off to some cool, there was a Mega Man one, just straight up a Mega Man ones in there. And I'm like, yes, this is gonna be awesome.
Mm.
Yeah, I have no clue what that's gonna be, but I'm very excited for it. And then the biggest news, we got Civ 7.
I knew it was gonna be Civ. I knew you were gonna say Civ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's already divisive in the community because once again, Civ, I think like Final Fantasy is every single time they try to change it up. And this time, they pulled things from other games. And I don't know. So, it's like a weird vibe. First off, you can now travel via river, which is like something I've always wanted. Rivers actually matter a little bit more. But gameplay-wise, it's like, hey, there are three eras now. And each era, like let's say I start as Egypt, right? Mm-hmm. In era two, I can switch it up and become someone else.
Oh.
I don't know that we have the answers on how that all works yet.
Mm.
You can pull different, I don't want to call them abilities, but like different traits from different things as you level, as you go through those three eras. And it's like, yeah, you know, be the faction that will work best for you in that era. And I wonder if it's because, let's say, I was thinking about this while watching the stream, like let's say you're playing Norway. Norway is a very like water-based civ. Mm. And so while you're doing that, if let's say the game starts you in the middle of a continent, you're not getting a lot of water time. So maybe when you switch in the next era, you can like change that.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm like, okay, maybe that's how you do that. Me, I've just restarted a bunch. You know, like, no, I gotta be on the water, dude. But I don't know what that all kind of means. I think it'll be fun, but a lot of people are like, no, this is like a lot of other games that didn't turn out good, dude. Here's the thing. The one thing I don't understand is people complaining about historical accuracy because it's like, stop. Don't be like, what do you mean? I'm Egyptian and then I have to become like, Greek, like that, like first off, actually, but then,
yikes,
but like, all right, you're Egyptian and then you become American, right?
Right,
how does that all work, y'all? I literally the other day while playing as the Americans built the pyramids, so like, why are we talking about historical accuracy and civilization? There isn't, it doesn't matter, it's Civ. You're building us. It's your civilization. You just picked, you know, the one thing that I think is good is that you can, there's different leaders now.
Mm.
They got Ben Franklin in there. Shout out to my man, Ben. I'm going to play Ben and I'm going to bang my way through Civ. That man got down. Ben Franklin, notorious fan of the ladies. Love you, Ben. That's a founding father right there.
Jesse using his historical knowledge for evil always.
No way, for good. People need to know Ben Franklin was like, he literally secured French help by banging his way through France. Like old lady, the man straight up said, I believe in a letter, when a kid was asking like, yo, I'm just trying to like find a lady, Ben Franklin was like, gentlemen of the world, young women are inexperienced and don't know a damn thing, but old ladies, they can fuck. Like, that's a real thing. That is written down. We have evidence. That man was like, the older ladies know what's up. And I'm like, Benjamin.
Benny.
It's true. So, you know, the man The man's an American hero. It's my guy.
I don't know enough to refute it.
That's a fact. I'm not even like, take the time, pause this podcast. Take the time, look up Ben Franklin old women advice or something along those lines. Love advice, something like that. He literally wrote a letter. It was like, don't go. Younger women, nah, that's trash. Go for those old ladies. And they're like, yeah, there you go, Ben. It's real. I'm not even making it up. Yeah, I don't know.
I believe you.
I'm excited for a new Civ game. It is one of those things that I put way too many hours in, and I will continue to, even Civ 6, which a lot of people didn't like, because again, they changed a bunch of stuff. I put 400 hours into that game. Yeah. Like, I love Civ games. I will continue to love them. It's the one more turn click thing, you know?
Yeah.
It is. All right, we have confirmation. It is in fact called Benjamin Franklin, Advice to a Young Man on the Choice of a Mistress.
From 1745.
My man.
Oh my goodness.
He knows what's up.
Mm-hmm. He certainly had advice.
He did have, look, he really did. I think Ben Franklin might be the first catfish too. Like, he wrote letters pretending to be like a housewife. What? Like, Ben Franklin was out there. I love Ben. He's amazing. What? And he was also like, let me just do some science too while we're out here.
Sure. Yeah. Just on the side.
Great. And they're like, hey, come in. Like, let's draft the Declaration of Independence. He's like, all right, shit, I'll do that too.
It's kind of cutting into my me time, but sure.
Like, all right, I guess. It's good stuff. I love Ben.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that was a fun watch, but most of it was like realizing the Hoyoverse has way too much damn money and a lot of stuff we've already seen before.
I missed out on the Warframe drops.
Yeah.
Shakes head.
We did get another Warhammer video for the upcoming game. That game looks awesome. I imagine that game's going to be really cool, minus probably a tacked on PvP thing. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like out of nowhere PvP appeared, and I'm like, all right, like, whatever. All I want to do is mow down a bunch of like space bugs and then find out chaos. You know, that's what I'm here for. It's going to be exciting.
I nearly got a joke in there. You talked fast enough that you cut it off. I nearly got a joke in there where I was going to be like, yeah, well, it would be hard to make a game about candy. But you cut me off. Could have been a reference to myself.
It could have been a reference to myself.
Yeah.
Yep. It could have. Sure, could have. Anyway, sorry, I fully interrupted you. Did you play anything this week that was exciting?
I don't think you did interrupt me. I played a lot of Crime Scene Cleaner. Have you played that game yet?
No, but I'm aware of its existence, and it's a very cute concept.
Cute's a word. It's a really, really fun game, but a little horrifying. There's a lot going on in that game.
Yes, go on.
The concept is that you are a janitor working at a high school. Your daughter is very sick. She's like gone away to stay at a hospital for a while. And you get contacted, your like tutorial mission, right? Is you get contacted by the son of a friend who's like, hey, I got myself in a little bit of trouble and my dad says that maybe you can help me out. Go to this address. I've left you some money. I'm really sorry about this. And you show up and there's like a murder scene to clean up.
Okay, so can I just say for the record, I, for some reason, thought you were talking about the game where you work at the office and you turn into a werewolf
and you
have to escape.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I apparently don't know this game at all.
Yeah, this is a first-person, like, detail cleaning game, except you, through a lovely series of events, get wrapped up in the mob. And so...
So you're like the dude in John Wick when he kills all those guys that come to get him at his house.
You're the cleaner.
And the bald dude with the hat, you're the guy who goes like, sure thing, Mr. Wick. Give me one of those wacky ass coins you have.
Yeah.
And he's like, thanks again. Right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. So every level is like a bigger and bigger mess that you have to clean up. The mobster that you're working for is super unhinged and just does shit. And he's like, I got something you got to clean up, right? And it's been made very clear that like, you either work for me or you're dead, sort of a thing, right? So yeah, it's very fun, but you know, there are bodies that have died in a wide variety of ways, and the game is pretty open about how everybody died, and a lot of them are still in the position they were in when they died. So there were a couple of times where I was like, okay, yep, all right.
I must stress to you again, looking at screenshots of this game, none of this seems cute. And I feel like my assumption that you were talking about the game where you became a werewolf and was pixelated and you ran around doing werewolf stuff is in fact not even remotely close to this. The first image is of a guy like holding his glove. It's basically the Blink 182 album cover, but not sexy. It's literally like, except not like, you
yes.
know.
Yeah. He's... I was talking about how, you know, like occasionally in media, there will be a character who's like, I'm doing this for my kid or I'm doing this for my family or whatever. But they really take like no convincing at all to do terrible stuff. So while I'm playing this game, this guy's making jokes. He's goofing through the whole cleanup. And I'm like, I don't know what this man has seen before the game started, but this guy didn't need that much coercion to clean up dead bodies. Like, he's having a blast, right? Like, he could look in the mirror and be like, this is for your daughter. This is to pay for her medical bills. But he's like, I don't know what other job would give him this much joy, really.
Okay.
So,
I mean, I imagine there's like a, like,
you want to play a deranged weirdo cleaning
things going
up
on at the end, right? Like, there's got to be some sort
of. I haven't finished it yet. I've gotten pretty far, I think. But it is one of those games that's oddly extremely satisfying because you clean up everything.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, oh, God. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the jokes are because it's like, you know, it's a pretty messed up situation, so you got a joke. But also, maybe he's just like into it. you don't know.
Yeah, it's a good game. If you don't mind gross stuff, it's a good game. It's really fun. I definitely want to finish it because it is creating a narrative, and I'm like, are we going to die at the end? What's happening? So I'm very curious.
Yeah. This definitely is one of those games where I feel like the end is the big, is this a good game moment?
Yes.
You know, like, you're doing all this stuff. What's the end going to be?
Right.
I think that's
like,
pretty interesting.
Like, does something happen to the boss and your closure is that you clean up the boss's body, or like, how is this a satisfying ending? Right. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, like, how do you get out? Or is it one of those things where it's like, I've saved my daughter, and now I gotta end the crime spree. I have to stop him. Right? I don't know. Who knows?
Have you seen that video where somebody takes a little 3D printed Batman cap and they put it on a cat, and they're going meow 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 meow, and then they put the Batman cap on, and the cat like stands up straighter, and they go meow 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 meow. It's very good. Anyways, I don't know if you remember what you were talking about.
All I know now is Catman. That's all I got. This is like,
meow, 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 meow.
It's dark in the night.
I wish I could do a good Batman.
Speaking of cats, I saw a guy turn his entire apartment into a cat playground. And it's a level of dedication that it's impressive. He can never have anything on the walls. Every wall is like jumping pads for a cat. And I was like, that's cool. It'll keep the cat from messing with your stuff. But also, you can never have a picture. Like, my man, your walls are the cat's now.
Maybe, like, yeah, like the cat's playing on the walls is like, gives him the same joy as a picture, maybe.
He put like boxes in the corner so the cat can jump up into the box and like hang out in the corner box. He's got like different things for the cat to claw on. I was like, yo, that's impressive. I've never seen anything like it. I was like, wow, you like made your whole home a cat park. Yeah. Like, that's cool.
I've been thinking about adding some stuff like that, but one of my cats is like so old and you know, not to be a downer, but we don't know how much longer he's going to be with us, really. And so it's sure. Like, I don't know if my other cat will use that stuff because she doesn't really use much of anything else cat, like for cats that we get. I'm like, I don't know. Do I want to put in all that effort if a cat will not use it? I don't know.
But it could be future cat. Could be
future cat.
Cats 2.0. You get whole new cats. Lord knows you will. So you'll, you know.
I'm definitely not getting another cat while I have a puppy. Puppy is so close to human baby. I will never puppy again, I don't think. I would old dog. I don't think I would puppy again, though. Puppies are so much, dude. I love her. Before anybody's like, I can't believe Dodger hates her dog. I love her. But God, she's so much.
Time out. Yeah. Is this true? Is this chat bot that you have accurate?
What, all the animals?
Duke says two cats, a cloud of fluff, one outdoor cat, two piggies, two geese, three dogs, two tortoises, two sheep, three baby sheep, four chickens, and a Sam.
Yeah, that sounds right.
How can you have a Sam when you have all those other things? Where do you find the time?
To be fair, they're not all of those animals aren't just mine. They belong to everybody on the farm. Like some of those animals belong to different people on the farm. We just all take care of them.
So. You know what? Farm life, it ain't for me. I'd be like, you mean I have to take care of all this? Like, no, let nature have it.
You have to visit, though. This time you have to visit. Yes. Come on, man. Yes. Yes.
Or you come to London,
no,
we get a sensible lunch, and I don't have to go out to the countryside. Well, why? I don't know. Then keep doing that. It's worked out so far very well for us.
I enjoy going to London and hanging out with you. I just think it would be nice for you to visit
me.
That's
drinks,
all.
Shoot the shit. I am visiting you in London. Which one of us traveled the furthest?
Well, if you
checkmate,
if you were, atheist. If you were traveling exclusively to come see me, then yeah, I would just. But you're
who's
not.
To say I'm not. Who's to say this is? Who's to say this isn't a big charade? Mm-hmm. Just to come out and see you
and
in
you
London
come
and
to
get
a
like
bar
tapas
for a day. Goddamn.
Oh, it seems like so much work.
Fine, I'm not going to force you. I won't force you. It's fine.
I'm going to get kidnapped. Sam's going to be like, get in a bloody car, mate. We're going.
Is that how long it's been since you've heard Sam talk?
Okay, you know. Yeah, he's just butcher. Mm-hmm. Get in a bloody car, mate. Yeah, real far from there, bruv. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do like the butcher accent.
You what? You what, mate? Oh, not a butcher, not a butcher. Get it over to me, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, seems fine. What else happened in your world?
I mostly played Crime Scene Cleaner and Minecraft and Warframe. I'm still Warframing, dude. I'm still Warframing. I built my first frame. I'm very excited. Because when you start the game, it's like Pokemon, and you pick your frame, and I was using that frame forever, and then I finally got all the pieces and all the blueprints that I needed to make a new frame. So I've made Rhino now. For any Warframe people, I've made Rhino now. Mag is in the oven. I'm making Mag right now. I've got all of the pieces, all of the blueprints and the pieces and stuff for Excalibur. And one other one. So I'm very excited.
I don't know what any of this means. Here's my question for you. Do you still have a butt when you put on your Rhino outfit?
I don't know. I haven't seen the Rhino butt. Rhino is very... Imagine if Dash got turned into a suit of armor. He's just a big brick. Not Ember.
Rhino has a cod piece.
Ember's the one with the badonk. I just killed her. And I said, I've seen your butt a lot when I killed her. And someone was like, that was a really weird thing to say. So.
As you stand over a dead body. I've seen your butt a lot. Walk
it's
away.
Because she's got this new skin where they were like, what if we sculpt her butt like crazy? And they did.
Nice. So, nice. Yeah. Here for it. Yeah, all of it, everything I see about Warframe seems fun. It's just like, everyone's like, we gotta, you know, it's like, yeah, they run this a bunch to do this thing. I'm like, nah.
Yeah, it's a...
Nah, I'd run it once and be like, well, that was fun. And then they'd be like, we gotta get your Warframe to it. And I'm like, nah, I'm all right.
What is still mind-boggling for me is that you were like, I challenge you to play a game that's not dodgery at all. And it wound up being Warframe, and now I'm addicted to
it. You found one.
Yeah, so...
Yep.
So this is your fault, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'll accept blame for that. I feel like I've earned that blame.
Yeah. So you watched Gamescom, but what did you actually play? What did you play this week?
So this week was the release of the newest Guild Wars expansion. I mean, admittedly, they were like, hey, we'll pay you to play this. And I was like, okay. It's one of those happy accidents for me.
Sure.
Love that. Big fan. Yeah, I've had my Guild Wars character for 11 years, and it's great because it's the base game's free to play, and then you just pay for the expansion after that, and they aren't expensive. The expansions are like $25. They're pretty good. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's like $29. I don't remember how much it was. And straight up just, it's just some Janthyr wild nonsense. It's As I was playing it, I was describing to chat the way I feel about it is... The game starts, this new expansion starts with, so for those who don't know, Guild Wars 2, the way it works is there's a base game and then there's expansions, just like any MMORPG, except you don't have to buy them in order. You can start at any point, play the expansion, and if you enjoyed it, you can go back and play through the other ones or get like a combo deal, or you can play any of them in different orders. By buying the new expansion, they give you a level thing to level 80, so you can play the new content right away. Like, it is very easily accessible. And the barrier to entry on playing it is it probably is the easiest to jump into MMO out there. It is straight up just like maybe 10 buttons total you're pressing the entire time. And half of those can be buffs, and combat is very fluid. And, you know, it's like a solid vibe. And it's got kind of like a in between WoW and Final Fantasy 14 storytelling device, where 14 is like story, 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 go over there, do a thing, story, story, right. story. And WoW is like a guy will give you a bunch of text and then you ignore it and then run off and go kill some guys. Right. Guild Wars is right in the middle where it's like, you can run around and do stuff and a dude will just talk to you while you're doing it. And you're like, yeah, this works.
Anytime a game, whether it's single player, MMO, whatever, if I can continue to do stuff while the yapping is happening, I love that.
Yeah.
It almost makes it easier to pay attention because I'm not sitting there like antsy, like waiting to leave.
Yes. Yeah, I've always thought that was a really great feature they had. But the thing that I was telling Chad about while I was playing was like, this expansion to me feels like Fast and the Furious 10. And that's an insane thing to say. But... In the movie Fast and Furious 10, the reason why I like this movie so much, besides Jason Momoa, who steals every scene, there is a character, it's the guy who plays Jack Reacher. He spends the vast majority of that movie being like, let me tell you about the last 9 movies. And he has a scene where he just starts off being like, they started... stealing combo DVD VHS players, and now they're flying in space. And that's the same vibe with Guild Wars 2, where when you start, it's like, hey, there's been a lot of adventures. We're going to have a meeting with all the characters to form this new council, and we are going to have every single character there kind of like catch us up. And so if you haven't played, or it's been a while since you've played, literally you have a bunch of characters saying like, well, my faction's doing this thing, and my faction's doing this thing. And I'm like, yo, I absolutely am here for this. A quick catch up if you don't know what's going on, and then you jump into it. And the new content is straight up like a magical forest with bear people that the Coden are like, we're bears and we live in the forest, and hey, come on down and we will let you get a homestead and you can have a house here. And also spears are a thing now. Do you like spears? Well, you don't just have to use them underwater. Now you can have spears in the game again. And by the way, you can do all sorts of crazy shit. Like, come on. The very first mission literally is like, there's a cat out in there in the wilds attacking some of your friends. Go get that cat. And the bears are like, don't kill that cat, dude. You can ride that cat. I'm like, what do you mean by this? And they're like, come on. So you literally have to beat a cat into submission, and then it becomes your mount. And the entire time I was joking, it's like, did I beat this cat down so bad that now I ride the cat? And yeah, the cat's like, you're good. You're good people. Hop on my back. And then that, it's great. It's great. I'm having so much fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Guild Wars 2, for the most part, for me, is jump in, run around. Oh, do I see an orange circle? Go there immediately. Is there fishing? Oh, there's fishing. Oh, there's fishing. And you can get little pontoon things and go out in the water. And, like, it's great. There's a lot of stuff going on in that game right now. And nice. It's worth checking out. It's there isn't just, like, casual fishing. There's also, like, fishing, like, scenarios will pop up. You'll be walking around and be like, fishing competition is happening, and you have to run over and like do the fishing competition. There's, because the Coden have like sort of little battle arena things, one of the first things I did, thankfully we got to do it on stream, is do like a giant fight versus a like big bear, and the bear's like beating the crap out of it. Good stuff.
Great.
Yeah. Big, I will say that this one seems to be more mechanics heavy than story heavy. At least from what I can tell so far, the story isn't like last time they were doing like some compelling, like, we got to watch out. There's demons and stuff happening. And it's going to be crazy. This time it's like, oh, the demons are coming, but first go play with bears. And that's fine. So yeah. I'm all right with that. And yeah, I've just been goofing. It's good.
I think I know the answer, but new WoW stuff is coming out, right? Are you touching that at all? Or
yeah, I think it came out yesterday. I think is the new expansion. I'll wait and see what people think. There's a lot of people are making videos and stuff. A lot of my various content creator friends for WoW are making videos that are like, is it all hype or is it actually good? And that is what every single WoW expansion has ever been. Like, I want to sit there and be like, wow, guys, they seem really excited about this. Like, all this seems pretty awesome. And I think everyone just forgets that every single time, the cycle of WoW is a new expansion comes out. People get so hyped. They start making like, oh my God, it's going to be so good. You guys have no clue. It's going to be so cool. And then a month from now, they'll be like, it's actually terrible. I'm like, okay. And I think people don't, I don't know. I feel like I've been seeing it for 15 years. So I don't fall for it anymore. And so I'll see people post things like, is it good? Here's my top 10 things you're going to love in this. And I'm like, bro, I know you. I know you as a content creator, and in a month you're going to be shitting on this game. Like, I can't, like, I don't know what you expect from me. And I want to be like, love your stuff, but that's usually most of the WoW content cycle. Yeah. And it really is interesting to see that sort of be brought over to Final Fantasy 14, which is like, there was a time where there was, the Final Fantasy 14 content was not like what it is now. Mm-hmm. And now I think because a lot of just the MMO culture from different things that went to 14 during Shadowbringers is that sort of like 4 year 2020 to now arc has been a lot of like, I'm really hype. And all of a sudden I don't like it anymore. And you're like, don't do that. Don't bring, like, that's the reason I left. Don't do that. don't bring that here.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't, I don't care enough about that. Please don't.
It's hard, right? Because it's not like anybody can go into a new expansion neutrally. There's somebody who already has, like, feelings one way or the other about the game going into the expansion. Sure. If they go into it being like, oh my gosh, this is so fun, clearly they want it to be good.
Mm-hmm.
I think people just naturally start to over-intellectualize, like, sequels and expansions and things like that, and start asking themselves, like, why do I enjoy this? And I think if you can't like clearly put together the elements that you think make it good, you start to wonder, wait, is it bad? You know?
Sure.
Which, you know, it's the age old thing of like, it's okay to just like something, to just enjoy it, you know, not saying that it's not, you know, that there isn't valid criticism out there, or that people can absolutely play an expansion and be like, this was not for me, I didn't enjoy this. Right. But if it's an extreme high and then an extreme low, that's strange, right?
Yeah. And it's a weird thing because I so desperately want WoW to be good.
Right.
Like, it isn't a thing where I'm over here just like crapping on it. Like, I want it. I want to enjoy playing it again. But part of me knows that there's going to be some sort of like grind mechanic about getting rep up, and I got to do a whole thing. And people are like, no, no, dude, it's changed. And I'm like, okay. And then I'll deep dive into it and be like,
Did it change though?
The way they talk about it changed, but the way it is didn't change. And it's weird because the last expansion, for example, Dragonflight, Krendor was like so hype on that. He was like, it's awesome, I'm enjoying it, I'm having so much fun playing it. And he's like, dude, the story is like really good. And then when I pressed him on, like, so what's the story about? He's like, well, all right. So the overall story, I'm not really paying attention to. It's kind of whatever. But like the in-zone stories are really good. And I'm like, here's the thing, they've always been good. There's never been like a, like, well, the zone story sucked. Like, no, they've been getting better and better at that. But I'm curious about, why am I, what, like, the overarching story of this MMORPG, what is that? And he's like, oh, I don't know. It's like, it's, I don't know. I just like farming mounts. And I'm like, okay, all right. So you're an unreliable narrator. Right. Let me go see what the internet says. And the internet, again, was like, awesome. This is so cool. I love the mechanics. It's great. And then as time went on, people were just making videos like, the worst story ever told, so boring. And I'd be like, all right, well, let me look into this for myself. And then I'd go watch cutscenes and I'd be like, I mean, I get why people complain.
Sure.
Because a lot of the cutscenes in a while are people just talking to each other, which should be done out of the cutscene. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like a cutscene should be like a cool fight scene or like a big moment. But instead, it's a lot of like, you'll never defeat me and my army. It's like, no, of course I will. We're on the side of justice. Like, no, I'm on the side of justice. Like, it's like, cool, but this could have been done outside of cutscene. Right,
this could be an email.
And so I understand. Yeah, I understand why a lot of people were upset about that. I'm like, okay, I get why people were upset. But at the same time, it's one of those things where, like, I can't complain. I just sat through an expansion of Final Fantasy 14 where that game is a lot of people just talking all the time in cutscenes.
Was going to bring that up, that, yeah, we both love 14, and a lot of the cutscenes are like, yeah, a lot, so, of like, people, well, standing in a circle talking to each other.
But I get it, because in WoW, I understand why the inclusion of more story would slow things down. Like, 14 is story. Right. Like, that's the show. That's why you're there. And WoW, I just know you're there to kill bears and get bear asses and run around and get cool mounts and hang out with your friends and do raids and do mythic dungeons or whatever. And so when a cutscene shows up, it's almost like it stops the flow. Mm-hmm. And I get why a lot of people move on. They're like, nah, skip, moving. And then they just don't know what the story is. And they're like, well, I'm not invested in anything. And so it's like a weird vibe, but it's also like they got to tell their story somehow, because no one's reading the text on the screen.
Mm.
And so, like, I don't envy it, but it's also one of those things where a lot of the commentary on WoW, I think, is not reliable, because it's people who just were never paying attention to what was going on in the story anyway. I would say I much more rely on people telling me what the game feels like Like, oh, I like the mechanics. I like the way that the new flight system works, or I like how my characters. I would trust people more with that in WoW than I would with like the story, because the story's never been the focus, and half the people playing it do not even know what it is anyway.
It's just you just run around and you feel cool as your little Blorbo.
Yeah, and so if the video that I'm watching about the new expansion is like, yo, the new play style, and they got this new thing, like, I absolutely love the idea. There's a new system where when you log in, like, around the campfire, you have your warband of, like, your four main dudes, and now they're part of a thing, and you can switch stuff between them, and you can, like, unlock rep for all of them, and I'm like, oh, this is very cool. However, what if you just made it so that when I do a dungeon, the other three go with me? So I don't need no one. I can make my own team. And like, I love that concept. And if they did that, I would 100% go back and play no matter what. Because I've got characters I've had forever. And I was like, you mean I don't have to like get yelled at when I'm not like optimally doing damage? Or I'm like, because one of the barriers of entry for WoW for me is a lot of people are just pieces of shit in WoW. Like, no offense, WoW, love you. You're great. A lot of players are like, I'm staring at my deadly boss mods or whatever the hell, and my recount shows that you were doing suboptimals. Like, bro, I'm just playing. I'm like half awake. I'm just trying to get this thing done. Like, yeah, my min-max states. There's so much of that. It drives me crazy. It is one of my least favorite things in video games. I hate meter watchers. They're the worst.
Someone said NPC dungeons are why they came back to 14. Yeah, I think letting you go in with major NPCs to do dungeons was like such a good call.
Yeah. And even though it's a slower experience, it's fun. They know what they're doing. Like, you don't feel pressured. And for the most part, the NPCs kind of know what they're doing. Mm. And they're like, hey, come stand over here. And you're like, okay, I'm learning this fight. It's very not pretentious and no one cares. Like, it's fun. It's genuinely fun. And the best part is that then they reward you for doing stuff where they're like, if you keep doing duties and trusts or whatever, then like you get outfits for your party and the scions can. Dukes, have you not seen the outfits?
No, I didn't know that. That makes me want to go do them.
Hold on. I don't know if this is one of those things that I'm looking this up right now. FF14 duty support glamour. There we go. Bing bong. So the new ones, in the past, they've had things like their old outfits and things like the winter coats for Garlemald, stuff like that. But they have these level 100 trust glams now. And I'm going to open image in new tab. I'm just gonna send you here to this page. But there you go. This is
my God.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. It's straight up just summer wear for the Scions. They were like, yeah, Stroll is just gonna be in a bikini. Deal with it. And I was like, I will get to level 100. I swear to God. I swear this day, Stroll should be level 100.
Oh my God. Yeah. I need them.
Y'all look at me. Literally just the hilarity of Thancred and Uriange's outfits. Like, they're just, how can you not want to get these? And so I think about that kind of stuff where it's just very cool, silly. You're going to have some fun. And I want that in Warcraft. Yeah. I don't even need the story to be good. I would go back just to play with my character. I have all these characters that I remember them. Mojo Maker, my troll shaman. I got Baby Got Back, my paladin, my blood elf paladin, right? I got, I have my undead priest. I got like all these different things that I could like form a perfect party and then just go run shit.
Right.
I would love that. If I'm not being like, I'm like, you know, guys, I've said this before, I'll say it again. I'm pure casual mode. I have given up trying to be a tough raider boy. I don't have the patience for it. I'm like, no, I'll wait. I've determined that I can just wait a couple months and run that content, and it'll be easier And I don't have to like spend 120 hours trying to learn it.
True.
I can just do it. And I'm like, wow, I get what I want, which is the story. I'm not out here trying to get like, oh, I earned this shield that will be useless in 3 months. Like, no, I don't care. I want to like, okay, yeah, that was a cool cutscene. That was pretty neat. And then I move on. And so once you figure out kind of what you're looking for, and what I'm looking for is a WoW that I can go back to. If the story's good, I'll love it. But more importantly, if I could just go back and like experience it all without having to, you know, be my best,
right,
be actually skilled, great. I'd love that.
Yeah.
We'll see. It's still early days. Obviously, it's been a day, but I'm not going to lie. I saw that WoW had already data mined a lot of the movies, so I watched every single cutscene they had, and I was like, yeah, okay, God. All right. Most of it's kind of boring. I was like, eh, all right. But some scenes I was like, yo, this lady who used to be a dagger is pretty cool. That's right. The villain of the new expansion used to be a dagger. There you go. There you go, kids.
Fantastic.
Spoilers, I guess. She was once a weapon. So, I was like, that's cool. There's a lot of cool stuff there. But yeah, I'll wait. I'll wait and see what people say. Because the big thing is, every ad's like, come back for the beginning of the end. Or like, rejoin the fight. We need you now.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, okay, all right. They're trying to sell you on a 3-story arc that's going to take the next 6 years.
Right.
Like, bruh, I don't know that I trust you enough yet to deliver on the ending of a 6-year story. Like, that's, you're going to have to nail this. So.
Have they explicitly said this is the last expansion?
No. The thing that I think is very funny is, because I was thinking about this because I'm writing the review of Dawn Trail.
Right.
And so I had like an epiphany this week that made me change my entire Dawn Trail review, okay, where I was like, oh my God, I just realized something incredible. And I just like started rewriting stuff. But I had the epiphany that like, I knew this, but like not a lot of people say we're going to end a game. We've talked about this before. Like, it's really hard to do that. And one of the things I think is interesting is that I went back because I was like, I remember Metzen saying that this was the end or that this was something. So I went back to watch BlizzCon, and during BlizzCon, Metzen doesn't say it's the end. He says, we want to finish the story of all the things we've been telling you about before your like grandkids play it, like that kind of thing.
Okay.
But it isn't necessarily an end, because then immediately after that, they have never once said this is the end. They've been like, come back. We're starting a new, this is going to be like a big thing that's going to wrap, like start the next phase of World of Warcraft.
Okay.
Right. But it isn't the end. And I think that's because doing the end is like a terrifying thing. And it also gives people an out to be like, well, when I beat this, I never can play. I don't have to play again. Mm. And so they've definitely changed. It isn't like, this is the end. I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen with this. But I know that it's a three expansion story arc, and I'm like,
great.
Okay, we'll see. Because
try something, again, you know.
I appreciate Blizzard bringing Knife Mommy out into the world. Obviously, a big fan. But there's also, you got a whole ass other evil mom just hanging out. Shout out to Queen Azshara, girl. Where'd you go? Where'd you go, girl? We miss you. I don't know. The idea of Blizzard having too many characters still upsets me.
Well, and like,
they're like, we just have a lot of characters.
The story also isn't exclusively contained in the game, right? So like, potentially things can happen to characters in the books, and a player would just never know.
Yeah. Yep. There is I'll never forgive them for some of their book choices where it's like, yeah, we killed off a character off screen in a book. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm all for mixed media. But if you make it so that like primary happenings in the original media aren't happening there, it's so like, well, that's so you got to buy the books. We're making it so that you have to, because otherwise you won't know this stuff in the future. And it's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just annoyed now. I'm not going to read the books. Blizzard. I'm just annoyed knowing that that could happen.
Yeah. Bronze has said, Blizzard is the vibe of trying something. By the way, hi Bronze. it not working, then abandoning it. So the upside of a 3 expansion arc, I guess, is at least committing. And I think that's the idea, is like they're committing to a full story. Right. But it's one of those things where in my mind, then that means the first one isn't going to be a story heavy. It's going to be a lot of setting up stuff, which I think, honestly, like if I had to say the biggest problem with Dawn Trail is that it's clearly a setup story. And a lot of people are like, well, I don't like this expansion. I'm like, I get it. It's setting up things that will happen eventually and gave us new back. It's like a Realm Reborn all over again. And that's a tough ride for a lot of people as is. And I think this is like, yeah, we're going to start some new things. And we're going to like wrap up some things, but we're going to start new things. And I don't know if they're going to, nail that. And so I'm not sure I'm going to buy into it yet. But if I hear it's great and everyone gets hyped for the second one, I absolutely, like, if this is good and the second one's coming down the pipeline, I will absolutely, like, 2 or 3 months before the new launch of Expansion 2, go in and play all of it right away. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't have to wait, and I can pay for 1 month's worth of the game and, like, jump back in and do it. Like, all right, I'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I hope that it is good. I hope it's fun. Because no. I know way too many people that are still, since middle school, still so, like, attached to that game in one way or another. So I would like for that affection and attachment to pay off ever.
I mean, I think the affection and attachment is less Blizzard and more making friends.
Yeah.
In game. And I think that's...
There's a whole part of your life that has now existed in that game.
Yeah. And I think it was easier, like, if I'm being honest with myself, it was easier for me to leave WoW when after, I think at the start of Cataclysm, the guild that I had disbanded. And we were, like, really good friends. All of us were pretty cool. We disbanded because, like, the dudes who were, like, the best players were like, oh, we can do 10-man raids now? Then screw being in a huge group. Let's go make our own 10-man. And they left the guild completely.
Right.
And the guild just collapsed. So I left my server, joined another guy, joined the guild one, which was super fun. But like, that's also when YouTube started picking up. And so I was doing less and less WoW and more various different contents. And so I didn't like, everyone in one was amazing, but we weren't like best buds where we talk all the time. Like, I'm sure that was going on in the guild, but not for me. I was busy doing a million things. And so I would show up, I'd play a bunch, I'd leave, I'd come back, I'd play a bunch, I'd leave, I'd come back. And it was a cycle where I wasn't like in it. And so when I finally got like tired of like what the core of WoW, I was like, nah, I'm all right. I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people play not because of the game, but because they have a lot of friends that they've made in the game. And it's a place that you can hang out with your friends. Just like if you're going to do D&D nights or if you're going to sit around and play Smash or whatever. It is just the bread for the butter of your friendship. Right? And I, no faults there. If the reason why you're playing is because it's enjoyable to you, then like, don't listen to me. Like, I'm not going to tell you what to like. I just know for me, I'm still waiting to see if they can nail it because they burnt me a few too many times.
Yeah. I think that's it for us. We got to wrap up now.
Really?
Really?
Whoa.
What's going on for you this coming week, Jessup?
Well, shout out to our good boy, Alex. This weekend is his wedding. So congratulations, sir.
Yay.
Yeah. So, that's a whole thing that I'll be doing. And then next week, I would say be on the lookout, one, for a very nice, almost too long video for a game called Indica, which is a wild game. And then a look into the world of the newest game from the Atlas team behind Persona, Metaphor. Got to play a bunch of that, and it is genuinely a game that in my preview, I literally was like, I don't know how to talk about this game. Everything I say to you could potentially be a spoiler. Like, this game's so crazy and weird and wild that get ready. So that's, get ready for that. Metaphor Refantasio. That's going to be a thing. I don't even know how to describe it to human beings. It's absolutely crazy. So, yep. And
I think I watched the trailer for it.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's weird.
And then yeah, I think that's it. I'll try to I still on my desktop, I still have to play the game, the Thank Goodness You're Here, or whatever that game's called. The
yes,
game that
you have you to play to, that.
I will play that. I got sick.
Okay.
I get some kid on the plane got me sick, and so I've been kind of out of it all week. I'm still recovering.
Kids.
It's always kids.
Can confirm, yeah. Oh. Yeah, I'm going to try and finish up Crime Scene Cleaner. I have to take a couple days off this week because it's my kid's last week before she goes back to school. And so we want to do a couple fun things before.
Family memories, like grenades.
Yeah, like grenades. Yeah. So I want to make sure that, you know, she does some fun stuff before she goes back to the grind of school. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I definitely want to finish up Crime Scene Cleaner. And I'm on a small Minecraft SMP server with Summer and a few other friends. So
or
I'm playing that. Yes.
You and I co-op some Cult of the Lamb.
We should also do that 100%. I would love to do that. I'll message you about my weird schedule this week.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Cool.
But that's it. Hey, gang. That's it. Thanks so much for watching, everybody. I hope you're having an amazing Friday. I hope you have an amazing weekend. We will see you again next Friday. So take care of yourselves. And that's it. The end. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, yeah. You know what time it is. It's time for the Geekenders podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger. What up? Let's go. Yo, it's the weekend. Yeah, it's time to geek out. Let it begin. Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger. So give them a follow and see what the Geekenders are all about. Yo, it's the weekend. Yeah, it's time to geek out. Let it begin. Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger. So give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time. On gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up. Yo, it's the weekend. Yeah, it's time to geek out. Let it begin. Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger. So give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.